Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions. Congratulations, Julie. 100 episodes. Today is our 100th episode of Chrisley Confessions.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, when we started this, it was kind of like Chrisley Knows Best. It was like the little engine that could. And CKB ended up becoming the kind of steamer train that just kept rolling down the track. And for that, I'm grateful. But we started Chrisley Confessions to kind of...
to have an outlet.
Yes. You know, to kind of be an outlet for our family because, you know, there were so many lies being put out in the tabloids and so many people within our own circle that was leaking false information, you know, to the tabloids and whatever. And we wanted to be able to address those things. And it's turned into so much more than just that garbage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was actually, you know, we do record in a studio, in Jay's studio. And I was speaking to Nick, who helps us with our sound and helps us to even
helps
run
us with everything.
So we were saying, can you believe it's been almost 2 years?
I mean, Nick, it's been 2 years that we've taken from your life.
I mean, it's crazy.
When you think about the number of people that it takes to keep us going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a village.
Yes.
It's not even a small village, folks. It's a huge
right.
village.
It's a huge village.
So, Nick, thank you very much for 100 episodes.
Yes.
Thank you. And Julie, thank you for 100 episodes because, you know, you and I have kind of, since day one, we have had some kind of bullshit in our life. You know, if it wasn't my crazy ex-wife who was jealous of you and always trying to stir up something and trying to cause confusion to just, you know, the day-to-day of raising children to, you know, thieving business partners and whatever. We've had so much stuff to happen to us, and yet here we stand.
Yep.
100 episodes into Chrisley Confessions, and I think we're approaching 200 episodes of Chrisley Knows Best.
Yep.
And after season 3 of Growing Up Chrisley, it'll be 24 episodes of Growing Up Chrisley. And then we have, you know, we have several new shows that are projects that are coming out for you guys. And we're very proud of that and very, very humbled by all of you who have given us a voice.
That's right.
Because that's basically what you guys have done for us. You've given us a voice. And through that gift, hopefully, we're giving something back to all of the millions of people that tune in to Chrisley Knows Best and listens to this podcast.
Yes, because we understand that there are so many podcasts out there now, and we are just grateful for the people who tune in and listen to us. I mean, we are so appreciative of that.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that 100 episodes, who would have thought? I mean, I thought, you know, yeah, we'll do this for a little bit and just, you know, kind of even the water, even the playing field and call out rogue-ass lying reporters that, you know, are trying to solicit, you know, people inside our circle, you know, to give them $100, you know, so they'd tell a lie. Unfortunately, there were some of those that took it. But I think that where we are today is such a God, it's just such a blessing from God.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. And, you know, folks, I have so many people that call in, that email into this, you know, to, you know, the podcast, but also that send fan letters to our home, you know, from all over the world, you know, to people sending us direct messages and messages on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and that have been such a blessing to us, you know, during some of our darkest days. And those, a lot of those messages lifted us up. A lot of them helped pull us out of the ditch and helped to reveal a lot of truth that needed to come out. And then just genuine people with problems that they feel like that we can discuss, right, and that they want to hear what our opinions are. And for that, we have such a gratitude that maybe we don't know how to properly articulate the level of gratitude that we have for each and every one of you that listen. So I want to say right now, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Absolutely.
And God bless each and every one of you and your families that tune in to anything that has Chrisley on it, you know, because we truly are grateful. So 100 episodes.
Yes.
We've done a lot, Julie.
Yeah, we have.
You and I have done a lot in these 367 years that we've been together.
You said that right. So,
you know, how do you feel? I mean, how do you feel today with all the stuff that's kind of going on in the world? I mean,
I want to say something about, you talk about things going on in the world, mm-hmm, just how crazy this is. Mm-hmm. Okay. For those of you who don't know, Raylan is like a child to us. She's like one of our other kids. Mm-hmm. And Raylan posted on her social media story today, and I have to read it because it to me is like, holy cow. This is what she said, and this was sent from a friend of hers. My sorority sister, a gal named Courtney who lives in Nashville, has a friend who took a mint from her Uber driver the other night. It was wrapped up just like a white lifesaver. She started to feel weird, so she texted her mom. She woke up in a warehouse close to the Nashville airport in a sex trafficking ring. Her iPhone location was shared with her mother, so the police were able to track her. The girl's okay, and she's the one who told Courtney what happened. So this isn't some friend of a friend of a friend BS. This horrific and scary stuff happened. Don't take mints, even if they're wrapped in cellophane, as if they hadn't been touched. And don't take anything. And, you know, don't be in an Uber by yourself. You know, thank God this girl is okay physically. I'm sure emotionally. I mean, this is going to take a long time for her to heal from this. But how scary is that?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, in Nashville, because people think, oh, you're in Nashville. You know, it's very safe. It's, you know, you're a small town still. That to me is so scary. But the good thing was that the police were able to track her because she shared locations with her mother.
Which is something that our kids have fought back on because
yes,
you're nosy. You just want to know where I
right,
am, et cetera,
so,
et cetera.
I hope for you parents that are listening that you share this story with your kids to know that it's not about being nosy. It's about keeping them safe. And if you're a kid out here, if you're a teenager, if you're a young adult, share your location with someone so that somebody knows where you are and can get to you. Because, folks, now let's just be honest, this probably saved this girl's life because her mother was able to get the police the information to track her phone.
It's just crazy. And I mean, and you know, I do have, you know, the locations of our children, and of you and mm-hmm, of, you know, of my mother. And, you know, we do all know where each other, you know, where we're all located. So, you know, that, I mean, it helps me to sleep at night knowing that I can track. And, you know, if Savannah is out traveling, if she, even though our stuff is booked privately and, you know, with a car service. Literally, when they pull up, she takes a picture of the tag on the car and she sends me the picture of that. And then she puts her location to where I can track it as she's literally going down the highway. So, you know, we do stay on top of it as much as we can. But for those of you who are not, who don't maybe have a parent or someone that you're sharing your location with, take your own safety into your hands. Do not be foolish. Do not be stupid. I mean, it's just, you got one life.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think we get very comfortable, you know, because we're like, oh, we're not in Atlanta or Miami or L.A., you know, where, you know, these things happen in other places. This is right here. I mean, you're talking about 20 minutes from where I lay my head at night. A sex trafficking ring, 20 minutes from where my children live. That to me is scary. And the only way that we're going to stop this is we have to continue talking about it. We have to be vigilant and take care of each other.
100%.
We all know this school year will be unlike any other. So whether your kids are going back to school or logging into a classroom from home like mine are, as parents, it can be time-consuming to give your kids the extra help they might need this school year. Well, here's a bit of help. Hands-on science and art projects you can get delivered to your door. The company, KiwiCo, can deliver a science fair art class right to your door. And you know what? I was even surprised about how much I love this as an adult. My kids were super excited to receive a box that was addressed to them specifically. It was catered to their age group. So for Grayson, it wasn't something that he felt was like, oh, this is too young or you know, this is not complicated enough or whatever. It was the perfect project for him. Chloe's was the perfect for her. So as a parent, it can be hard to find creative and new things to keep your children busy and challenged, especially now. KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling these projects together. There are different crates for kids of all ages. There's something for every kid on your list. Literally, there's a panda crate for ages 0 to 2, all the way to the Eureka crate, which is ages 14 to 104. So I can assure you that your kids will love it as much as mine. Chloe and Grayson, they made lanterns, they made a solar spinner. And for Chloe, this was great because this went along with science and learning about the solar system. So she was having fun and learning at the same time. So KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/cc. That's KiwiCo.com/cc.
You know, I woke up this morning and the first thing that I do is I kind of read the news, you know, what the, you know, that I go through and kind of see what's going on in this world. And I posted on my Instagram this morning because when I woke up, I was absolutely so furious at reading some of this stuff on the news that it was just absolutely so frustrating to me that I have to literally, you know, that it's actually going on in our country. I posted, so, you know, go to my Instagram, Todd Chrisley. I posted what was on the news this morning. In Arkansas, just passed a law that will let rapists sue their victims who want an abortion. Folks, listen to that. Arkansas, the state of Arkansas, folks, just passed a law that will let rapists sue the victims who want to have an abortion. Well, I'm sorry. If I was a woman and someone raped me and I got pregnant, I just don't want that memory for the rest of my life. But, and I should have the right without someone who brutally attacked me and forced me to do something that I didn't want to do.
To be able to victimize you again.
Right.
Because that's just victimizing you all over again.
Folks, what is wrong with our country that this kind of shit can happen? And then as if it doesn't get bad enough, as if it does not get bad enough. A man who raped a 12-year-old was awarded joint custody of her child. This man raped her at 12. She obviously got pregnant. She had the child. So this child is 12, having this baby at 13 or just turning 14. And this man can sue her for joint custody.
That is messed up on a whole nother level.
It is beyond. Then we have a politician, Oklahoma Republican, declares that rape is the will of God. Now you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Read it.
That is absolutely crazy.
And then, are you ready for this? Why does it always have to be a southern state? I mean, really, why does it always have to be a southern state? Once in the North Carolina sex assault laws under scrutiny, once a sex act has begun, you cannot withdraw consent. Folks, what? Listen to that. Once you start having sex, you cannot tell the other party that you're no longer into it. You want to stop. So in the state of North Carolina, the lawmakers are considering a bill that would change the criteria for consent.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I'm sorry, but if I am having sex and I decide that, you know what? I think Julie's getting ready to walk in the door, so I'm going to quit. Well, at this point, you started it. You got to finish it.
Well, I don't even think it's that, but I think it's more so that once it starts, she can't say it wasn't consensual.
Or he.
Right, exactly. That is so wrong on every level. That is
no.
What so if, wrong.
What have we learned our whole life? What does no mean?
No means no.
No means no.
And we have control over our own bodies.
Exactly.
Nobody else can tell us what to do with our body and how we're to feel. I just don't believe it.
Exactly.
I don't care what your political stance is. We have to guard our children, for one thing, mm-hmm. because you're talking about, this was a 12-year-old child. Uh-huh. So first and foremost, this is a child. And I can't even.
The state of California, as if that state's not as screwed. Literally, the state of California is looking to pass a law. I don't know. It may have already passed that a sex crime is no longer a felony. That rape with a child having sex with a child will no longer be a felony.
Okay, we need to do some research on that because that's just hard for me to believe.
Okay, then Google it. Google it right now.
Hard for me to believe.
Check it right now so that we can clear it up right now on this podcast if I'm wrong. It is literally the craziest thing in the world. I'm sorry. I mean, how are we having all of this stuff now popping up in legislation that makes these crimes that these people are being accused of no longer felonies or even a crime at all? Are you finding what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. I hadn't found it yet.
I mean, it's absolutely absurd. And I'm just at a loss at where we are in our country. Where are our moral values? Now, listen, everyone knows that we are Christian. I am pro-life. And I do not believe in abortion. But I also believe that a woman should have control of her body. It is a woman's choice. And just because I, as a Christian, do not believe in it, it's not happening to my body. Therefore, I don't feel that I have the right to say to a woman, I'm going to, because of my religious beliefs, I'm going to control your decision-making process because what you're doing offends my beliefs. I believe if a woman is raped, she has the right to have an abortion if that's the choice she chooses. I believe that if a child is raped or molested and she gets pregnant, I believe should be the state's choice at that point to say this child's life is not going to be ruined by having a child at 13 years old. And from such a vile and disgusting act of control, a child shouldn't have to go through that. And I just think that where we are in this country, it is just such a We are just in, folks, we are in crisis mode here. We are in crisis mode in this country when it comes to our moral compass. We lack character. We lack integrity. We lack morality. I mean, we lack heart. I mean, we will go out here and loan trillions of dollars to other countries and not even take care of our own. We'll feed strangers in another land and another country, but let our own be living under a bridge that served for our country starving to death. Folks, we will loan trillions of dollars to other countries, but we will not give raises to our teachers and our educators. We will fund medical research in other countries, but yet deny our taxpayers and citizens of the United States of America access to that same technology and that same coverage that we're funding for other countries. And every bit of it is politically based. It's politically motivated. And until we clean up what's going on in Washington and what's going on, you know, in government offices around the country, we will continue to sink to the bottom when it comes to morality, integrity, character, and just straight up heart for our fellow human man. I don't care if you're black.
Human person.
I mean, we're such a politically correct place this right now. I can't hardly stand it. When I say a human being, should I say a human female and a human man?
You said a human.
My fellow man. I said your fellow person.
It can be.
Then you know what, folks? Let me rephrase that, because clearly I'm sitting beside Gloria Steinem's illegitimate daughter today.
Why do I have to be illegitimate?
Well, because, you know, she's never acknowledged you, that she gave you away at birth. So I believe that it speaks volumes about where we are as a people when we have other humans suffering at the hands of our own country's governmental system of ignorance and prejudice. And folks, when I say prejudice, I'm not just talking about skin color. I'm talking about people of socioeconomical differences that are looked down on. At the end of the day, if you are worth $1 trillion and you're out here stranded on some dark road and your car breaks down and you've walked, you know, for 2 days trying to find someplace and you stumble upon this mobile home, this trailer, and that person that lives in that trailer that makes $25,000 a year gives you water, gives you something to eat, and allows you to use their phone to try to get you out of there. They just became in a higher position than what you are, because they had something that you needed and they gave it freely.
Well, and I think it goes back to the way that we treat people. We don't ever know when we're going to need those people or when we're ever going to be in need and those people come along and help you. That is why, regardless of how much money you got, how much whatever social ladder you climb, it doesn't matter. It truly does not matter at the end of the day. It matters how I made you feel. Because that's all that you're going to remember.
That's exactly right.
You're not, you know, you're not going to remember what kind of car they had, whether it was a $200,000 car or it was a $200 car.
Exactly.
But you will remember how they made you feel. And that, to me, is one of the most important things that we can instill in our children, is that it doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, you cannot take it with you. And at the end of the day, if you don't use it for the purpose of something good, it's not going to bless you.
You know what I say about that? If you come by it dishonestly, you're going to lose it in the same fashion.
That's right.
Because what was never meant to be yours shouldn't be yours.
That's right.
So, I mean, I just think that, you know, folks, we need to all step up and stand out. And that doesn't mean going out here and destroying personal property and all that. But you can be heard. And if we become together as a people, one voice, that voice will be so loud and will resonate so clearly that we can't be overlooked. So, you know, I want you guys to think about that.
So I've talked to you guys before about how much our family loves to get our shipment from the Licorice Guy. The Licorice Guy is a family-owned business specializing in gourmet licorice. Nostalgic dime store flavors, fresh and bursting with flavor. They offer jumbo licorice sticks in red, black, chocolate, cinnamon, and seasonal flavors. And we received the blue raspberry and the watermelon, which have been a favorite in our household. You know, I love the fact that the Licorice Guy started as one man with a unique concept to market his exceptional licorice. He went to fairs, festivals, and events across the country to personally engage with each and every customer. Through this, they have been able to really give the customers what they ask for that store brands can't provide. Fresh, delicious jumbo licorice sticks that take you back to fond memories. It's made in the U.S., fat-free, kosher, less sugar, and more flavor. So go to thelicoriceguy.com and get 15% off your order. Go to licoriceguy, LICORICEGUY.com and use the discount code CC to receive 15% off your order. That's licoriceguy.com, discount code CC to get 15% off your order.
So let's move on to our first caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Kayla from West Virginia. And I just had a quick question about something that's going on in my life. I need your advice. So my fiance, when we get married, he wants to move to Ohio, where he's from. And I've never, ever wanted to move to Ohio in my life. I've always wanted to stay in West Virginia just to be close to my family. But I just can't think of, like, moving away from my mother. She's literally my best friend. But he really wants to move to Ohio because he thinks it's a better opportunity than West Virginia, which is true. But I just don't want to move to Ohio at all. So if you could just give me some advice, that would be great.
Hey, Kayla. You know, I think that, you know, part of the solution here is that you don't move to Ohio before he's got a better opportunity. If he thinks that there's a better opportunity in Ohio, then he needs to go. You said this is your fiance. He needs to go and find that better opportunity, and he needs to show you that this is where I've got a great job, this is what we can do here, and this is how we move on in our life to make things better. The Bible does say that, you know, when a husband takes a wife, you know, he will cling to his wife, and when a wife takes a husband, she will cling to her husband. But now that doesn't mean that you've got to be stupid. If he ain't a great leader and he ain't got a house for you in Ohio and he ain't got steady income and he can't, and you can't make kind of make sure and know before you leave your mama that he's going to be able to keep the lights on, sweetie, you better make this a long engagement so you can see exactly what you got. Julie?
I think that was perfectly answered.
Okay, next caller, please.
Hi, guys. This is Christine from Haymarket, Virginia. I'm a huge fan, and I always wonder how you, Julie and Todd stay so fit and healthy. I know you guys joke back and forth about the different things that you try and wondering what you guys do for diet and exercise. Take care and all be well.
Hi, Christine from Haymarket, Virginia. First of all, thank you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Todd is a walker. So he walks, and when I say he walks, he sometimes gets 30,000 steps a day. And Todd is not a big portion eater, which I think has been why he's able to stay so thin. Me, on the other hand, I struggle. But, you know, I have relied on Nutrisystem in the past. It works if you stick with it. And, you know, during quarantine, I was like, you know, I just did what most everybody else did. I was in the house. I found myself cooking. I found myself not making the best decisions. And so I am waiting after Labor Day. I am getting back on that train. So, you know, I think the thing is that don't give up. If you fall off the train, just get right back on it. Stay active. That is one of the things that you have to do is to stay active. So that's kind of what I have to offer.
Well, I mean, you know, Christine, I, like Julie said, I'm not a big portion, you know, kind of guy. I mean, I do eat pretty much what, no, I don't, I eat anything that I want. But I have found that as I turned 52, you know, I did gain 10 pounds and I'm trying to get that 10 pounds off because not because I look any different in my clothes or anything, but just because I feel better at a certain weight. I feel better at 175. That is the number that I feel the best at. And I'm now 180, I think 184, so 9 pounds. I'm 184 and I'm walking and, you know, trying to get that off. And, you know, the best thing for me that I have realized is that when I put on 5 pounds or, you know, now in this case, 9, if I cut sodas out completely and drink water, which I have to tell you, I just hate water. I mean, I just feel like it's just the nearest nothing. And, you know, if I cut sodas out, which is Coke, which is the only thing that I drink other than sweet tea, if I cut that out, then I can lose 5 pounds quick. But I just think that a lot of it has to do with people's metabolism and how they metabolize things. And it's hereditary. You know, my dad never had an issue with weight. My mother, after she had, you know, went through menopause, you know, her whole metabolism changed because she was thin my whole life up until her menopause. And so I just think that it's each individual and, you know, and how your body metabolizes things. I mean, Savannah's doing something right now, you know, because of the endometriosis, she got with this nutritionist in California that kind of does a menu of foods that you, based on your blood type, that you can eat. And the exercise routines that you should be doing based on your blood type. And so I'm interested to see how that goes for her.
Yeah, me too.
Because after all, you know, Savannah did confirm today that she and I have the exact same blood.
Of course.
I mean, not that anyone guessed that, you know, she wasn't mine, but, you know, she and I do have the exact same blood.
Blood type.
Mm-hmm. Which means I can give her my blood and she could give me her blood.
Okay.
Which means that she and I would just, you know, continue to be twins.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So good luck with that, Christine.
Next call.
Hi, Todd, and hi, Julie. My name is Kelly. I am from Maryland, Kingsburg, good old Carroll County. My first question is about job offerings. So I'm a medical assistant. I was a medical assistant for a pediatrist office for a little over a year, but I had been applying to a lot of jobs. Pennsylvania, Maryland are different when it comes to medical assisting. PA, if you get hired in Pennsylvania for a medical assistant, you only get paid around like $14 an hour. And in Maryland, I had the potential to make $16.50 to $17 an hour. But most of the places that are offering me that much, I don't really have a lot of potential to grow. And then I actually got a job offer in Pennsylvania starting out $14 an hour. So I was wondering, would you take the higher paying job or would you take the lower paying job that has more potential and you have better opportunities and you have the potential to be very, very well paid there down the year, and they do school reimbursement, and they have a lot of opportunities rather than a place that's offering me more money here in Maryland. That was, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Kelly. You know, I think it depends on, I think there's many factors, you know, what benefits they're offering. It's not always just about the hourly wage, but which one's offering you more benefits, which one has the least travel time, you know, and again, you mentioned room to grow. I think it's always important to try to land in a spot where you can grow. So I think that for me is what I would say. I would say, sit down, do your pros and cons for both, and then that'll kind of tell you which direction you need to go in.
So there you go. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd. This is Jacqueline Goddard from Shelby, North Carolina. I was calling you to get get a suggestion from you. You married Julie, and that was your second wife. Now, if I get married again, it would be my third. What advice can you give me going in? Thank you.
Oh, Jacqueline. Would you like for me to call you Jacqueline? Jacqueline, honey, if this is your third time, I just don't see a need for you to have to get married. I mean, if you've been married once like I have, I mean, my first time, I don't even really consider a marriage because it was not based on love. There was absolutely no love whatsoever in that marriage. And, you know, it caused me to resent. And I just didn't have, not one good, fond memory of those 6 years. I married Julie and my life changed forever. It's the only woman I've ever been in love with. I mean, the only woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. She was then and has now become everything in my life. And if something happened to her and we were separated by death, I don't see myself ever being married to another woman. Because A, I don't believe that I would ever find that again. And when I say that again, I don't believe I would ever find everything in another woman that I found in Julie. I don't believe I would ever feel as safe with another woman as I have felt with Julie in my life. And so now, would I have a booty call? Yes. I mean, that's a given. Because, you know, once you a hoe, they still hoe in you. And you know, would I go out? Would I have dinner with someone? Would I?
Okay, hold up. You're getting a little too, like, planning the future, so.
No, I'm just trying to tell her. So calm down, sister. Ain't nobody going to get what you got. But, you know, if that were to happen, and I would go out to dinner. I mean, you know, I would be real friendly and stuff. But when it came time to go to sleep.
Give her some advice.
I'm going to. But when it came time to go to sleep, I mean, I'm coming home in my bed, and I ain't putting another woman in the bed that me and Julie shared. So there wouldn't be a third marriage for me because I just wouldn't see the need for it. A, we're not going to have kids. I'm never having any more kids. And I can be your partner. I can be your friend without being married to you. So that's kind of where I stand.
So, Jacqueline, I think basically what he's saying is, girl, don't do it a third time.
No, because if you couldn't get it right in the first two times, now let's just go ahead and be real, Jacqueline. Some of this shit belongs to you. So you got to own it, hold on to it, and figure out what you did to cause it. And clearly you didn't figure it out the first time, and now you're going through a divorce, or you're getting ready to get married the third time or thinking about it. I just think, sister, you need to sit still for a minute. You need to love your little friend that you got that you know he's going to be so different than them first two. Most men ain't different. Most men, when you get down to it, it's all the same. So you need to go ahead because, see, you love him so much right now that you want to get married to him. Don't waste a good thing. You need to stay caught up in that moment you in right now because the moment you get married, he got you. So you're going to get lazier. Stay doing what you're doing. Stay, you know, if you shacked up with him, do your thing. Ain't nobody else's business. That's between you and God. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name is Stephanie, and I'm calling from right outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And first, I just wanted to say that my family and I have recently found your show. I don't know if we've been living under a rock or what, but I'm the mom of three daughters, and it's something we can all sit and watch together, and we all love you. So thank you for that. My question is, how does your family deal with the constant scrutiny of people just judging the decisions you make in your life? I personally am a teacher. And in our current climate right now, I feel like teachers have never been more hated or misunderstood. We went from April when we were called superheroes and amazing, and now in the current times, we're back to constantly being judged for our decisions and the choices that are not ours about what is happening with school. And it has never been a harder year to prepare for. I feel like I've never worked harder as a teacher. And it's just hard to keep up the stamina and the positivity when you feel like you're constantly being scrutinized for decisions that aren't even really yours. So how does your family handle that when you are under the scrutiny of the world? Thanks so much, and I look forward to watching and hearing from you all soon.
Hi, Stephanie from Louisville. Thank you so much for finding us. That makes me so happy to know that people are still finding us. And thank you for being a teacher. You know, I have so much respect and appreciation having Chloe at home now trying to do the virtual learning. It is so hard. And I can tell you that I look so forward to the day where we can safely return to school. And so, you know, I know it's a I can't even imagine. I mean, a teacher's job is hard enough, but to add all of this to it is crazy. Now, as far as how do we handle the scrutiny of just people? You know, I think we signed up for a certain portion of it when we signed up to do a reality show. I think for me, I'm not going to go through and analyze and look at every single comment and take in every negative comment that someone has to say. I never have done that, and I don't do it now.
Well, you've actually never cared.
I don't, because I know at the end of the day, I know who I am. I know what I am. I know that I'm a good wife. I'm a good mother. I'm a good daughter. I'm a good daughter-in-law. And those are the things that matter to me. And I'm never going to go out here and intentionally hurt someone else. And I think when you know that, it causes you not to, you know, and Todd, you've always said someone else's opinion of me is not my business.
Right.
They're entitled to their opinion, but it's not going to change what I do. And I think that's what we have to live by, especially, I mean, with social media, because it is, people can say the most hurtful things. And
if you allow them
with
to be hurt.
Utter disregard to that, there's a real life person that you're tagging or you're replying to. So what's your take on that, Todd?
You know, first off, you know, we love teachers in our household. We always have. And, you know, I have had some very positive role models in my life that were teachers. I don't understand. Again, I think that our government fails our teachers, you know, when it comes to pay and when it comes to benefits. And you know, we're trusting you with the most precious gift that we'll ever have, and that's our child. And our children are the government's future, this country's future, the world's future. And we're trusting that in the hands of an educator. And so I will always, you know, applaud and uphold and anyone in education. Now, do I think there's some bad ones out there? Yes, I do. I mean, but that's in every profession. I do think, though, that people attack teachers more now that she talks about it than what we ever did when we were growing up. And my mom used to say, you better not open your mouth to a teacher. If you come home from that school with a note that says you've talked back, I'll wear your ass out. So you got less of that going on. You know, you got less of the parents at home demanding their child to do the right thing. As far as what I think about what people think about me, I could give a rat's ass less. I mean, at the end of the day, just because you tune in and see me for 22 minutes, you know, once a week, you don't know me. You know what you see of me on television. You know what you see of me on social media, but you don't really know my heart. So therefore, I can't get mad at you when you make a stupid statement about something you know nothing about. So when you're talking about me and it's something that's bad and I know that it's not true, I'm just like looking at like, who they talking about? Who was they saying that about? Because I don't own that. I don't own your stupidity. I don't own your statement. Just because you say it doesn't mean I own it and accept it. So don't live your life worried about what your neighbor thinks, what somebody in your church thinks, what, you know, your kid's teacher thinks. Live your life based on what God thinks of you. And based off of how you live your life, you will know if God is blessing you because of what you're doing. And live your life based on how you make people feel and what their reactions are to you when you walk into a room. And most importantly, you will know how you live your life by the way that people stand up for you when there's these fools out here acting a fool. So, I mean, you know, I hope that you, first of all, thank you for being an educator. Second, thank you for calling in. And three, live your life for you, not for somebody else's opinion, because really it ain't none of our business. Next caller, please.
Hi, my name is Robin Eastep, and I am calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I am trying to have the patience of a 12-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son, single parents, no father contact. I would love to ship them your way since you are so well tamed with them. So give me a call back. Thank you.
Hi, Robin from Myrtle Beach. You know, thank you for calling in. Honey, as much as I love the children that I have, I do not wish to have any more. So I'm going to have to decline your request for you to send your children my way. You know, I have a 14-year-old son as well, and I worship him, but he drives me insane. So I am feeling your pain, sister. So best of luck, Robin. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Kelly, and my mom and I are your biggest fans here in Memphis, Tennessee. I have two statements and a question. My first statement is to thank you guys for your support of breast cancer. My second statement is for Todd. I love your parenting style. I was jumping up and down and screaming and cheering during season one when you put a boot on Chase's car. I love it. My question is, I'm 52 years old, and my mother has lived with me for about 10 years. Although she has some health issues, she's pretty self-sufficient, but I do feel responsible for her. I have a brother who's 11 years younger than I am, and he doesn't help with her at all. We don't need his money, but he doesn't even call to check on her. She's had three hospitalizations this year alone, and he was not here for any of them. He moved out of state with his girlfriend. How do I not resent him for not putting in time for our mother? I'm single and I have grown children, and I feel guilty even now about dating because every decision I make, I have to have my mom in mind. It's a little worse since the pandemic, and it's overwhelming because I work in the medical field and I live in fear every day of bringing the virus home to her. Can you give me some advice on how to cope with this anxiety and how to get over the resentment towards my brother? Thank you guys for all you do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Kelly from Memphis. You just articulated that so well. As for our commitment and support of breast cancer causes, you know, that is always near and dear to our heart. I am a breast cancer survivor. So we will continue to support the cause, and we will continue to talk about it. We will continue to tell women to get your mammogram. It saves lives. As for taking care of your mother, I commend you for taking care of her. And I know it's hard when you are always the one that's doing. I think it's natural for you to have some resentment that your brother is not stepping up to the plate to help. And like you said, you're not just talking about money. You don't need his money. But it would be nice for him to call and say, you know what, Kelly? I'm going to come get mom and keep her for a week, or I'm going to come get mom and take her somewhere just to give you that time and to get your mom out. I know you can't do it now during the pandemic, but before that, she's been with you a long time, 10 years. I think you have to just tell yourself and keep reminding yourself that you are doing the right thing. You are taking care of your mother. And I truly believe that that's what we're supposed to do. So whether your brother does the right thing or not, you can't make someone do the right thing. You just can't do it. So, you know, I think you have to let it go because it's not healthy for you to carry that resentment around. I think just sometimes we're the ones having to do the work.
You know, Kelly, you know, my mother lives here in Nashville, you know, literally within minutes of us. And Julie, myself, or one of our kids is doing something for her on a daily basis. And I've been helping my mom and dad since before my dad passed away. And really for the last, 15 years? About 15 years. And, you know, I'm grateful to God that when my dad passed away, I was able to truly let my dad transition over without any regrets. I had no regrets left between me and my, you know, with me and my dad. When my dad drew his last breath, I knew I had done everything I could possibly do to save his life. I had done everything I could do for him in those last 10 years that I had been doing for them financially and helping them and what have you. I knew that I did the very best I could do with what I had to do with, and that God had always guided those decisions. With my mother, it will be the hardest thing I will ever have to go through when the Lord decides to call her home, because my mother has been with me since the day she had me. And what I do for her today and what I've done for her throughout my life has been my blessing. It meant more to me for me to be able to do it than it ever meant to my parents to receive it. And I am grateful that I've been able to do that. So I think, you know, when you have a sibling that's not doing the same things that you're doing, it, you know, it can breed resentment, but it only breeds resentment if we allow it to. So I would ask that you focus on how great it makes you feel to know that when the Lord calls your mother home, you will have no regrets. Your plate will be clean. You won't have to sit there and say, man, I wish I had her. Man, I wish I'd spent another day with her. I wish I'd taken her to dinner. I wish I'd have helped do her hair. You won't have those regrets. And unfortunately for your brother, he may. So just remember, you are the one who's being blessed by having your mother there and you having the ability to bless her. So that's the blessing in it. So I hope that that works for you. I think we've got time for one more caller.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Julie. Hope this finds you well. My name is Claire from Indiana. I'm 25. I've been dating my boyfriend for 3.5 years now. And I know that you guys have said before that us youngins want our relationship to be like our parents immediately. I think I did it first when I was young and dumb, and now I understand. Well, I'm still young and dumb. But now how I understand that it takes time, it takes effort. My question is, at what point do these men become like our fathers, where they put their wife up on a pedestal, and that's their number one, and that's who, you know, that's their best friend, that's who they respect and gush over? When does that change? Thanks for listening. Hope to hear back from you guys. Bye.
Hey, Claire.
From Indiana.
I think that from my perspective, I would like to think that I am much better today at 52 than what I was at, 26 when we got together?
Something like that, 28?
27, I don't even remember. I think that it comes from growing, and men mature at a much slower rate than what women do.
You were 27.
I was 27. Mm-hmm. I knew it was 26 or 27 because I'm 5 years older than you. But I think that it comes with maturity, and it comes from seeing your wife doing for you every day, whether that be doing your laundry or putting a meal on the table for you, or just being there to listen to you vent, or to tell you, you know what, but you know what, hon, we're going to get through this. We're going to do it together. And watching your spouse work with you every day, helping you to build what's going to be your tomorrow. And so I think that
But don't you think you have to have that core from the beginning?
I do think that
It's important when you are out here dating, being engaged, whatever, that you find someone where that core's there. I do believe that men mature mature later than women. And so it does take time. And I do think that we evolve and that we grow and that we become better because we know better. But don't you think at the core, you kind of have to have it from the beginning?
I think that I just always wanted to be with one person that I loved more than anything in the world. And I wanted to be good to that person and to respect them and to treat them well. I think I always wanted that. But I don't think that I gave you that every day in the beginning of our marriage.
Right.
I mean, I think that I've gotten way better.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
And so I think, I mean, I don't know how long Claire's been married.
She's not there. 3.5 years with her boyfriend. They haven't gotten married yet.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you're not seeing signs after 3.5 years of him being what you're hoping he's going to turn into, chances are he ain't.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I mean, I think some people get lucky and they can't make a complete turnaround, but that's so few and far between.
Yes, but I go back to these the millennials. Men now believe that they are more important than their wives. And men believe that, you want a new car? Well, I want a new truck. Well, you spent this, how much on a handbag? Well, I want to spend this on a guy's trip.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's tit for tat.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that that's the way that it should be.
Right.
I believe that in our marriage, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I have never one day placed what I wanted in front of what you wanted or what you needed. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%.
Do you think I've ever placed my wants or needs above any of our children?
No.
So I always knew that if anyone had to do without or anyone had to kind of sit on the back burner, that it had to be me, because I have an obligation and a commitment that I made in front of God and Julie's parents and my parents and the friends that we had at that time and, you know, still have, that it was my responsibility to take care of you and our children. And I just think that today these young men think that the women owe them the same thing. And no. The man is supposed to put a roof over his wife's head. A man is supposed to take care.
And you're supposed to work together.
Yes. I mean, exactly. 100%. And
that takes on lots of different looks, you know.
Well, I think today it takes on a lot of different looks. When you and I got married, it didn't take on a lot of different looks. And, you know, I said this to Nick and I've said it to Chase and I've said it to Kyle that, you know, today. And, you know, they love to say to me, well, I mean, you know, you're just old fashioned in the way that you think. I mean, don't you think times are different? And my response is every time, absolutely, today's times are different. Your generation has a 53% divorce rate. Mine didn't. And the reason for that, folks, is because when Julie and I got married, we had a clear understanding of exactly what we wanted out of life. Do you remember those conversations?
Yeah, and I do think that because of, the way we've raised our kids, social media, so many other influences, I don't think kids today know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the problem.
But here's another problem, is that if a man wants to be a woman's everything, if a man wants to feel like if a man feels like, you know, I'm supposed to be my girl's protector, I'm supposed to be, you know, the one that takes the bullet, then take the bullet.
Right. Don't just talk about it.
Don't talk shit and say, I'm the man. You know, you got to respect me because I'm the man. No, a woman will respect a man when a man makes her feel safe and whole and protected and is providing for her financially and making sure all of her needs are met. Then a woman will respect that man. But a woman ain't giving you respect when you demanding dollar for dollar for her to match you. And it's like I tell Savannah every day, and I've told her since the beginning of time, you don't need a man that needs you to put on the table the same amount that he's going to put on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go out here. Now, I'm all for women's liberation. I'm all for I am woman, hear me roar. I'm all for all that. But let me tell you something, women. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't back yourself in a corner. Because if you're sitting here saying to a man, well, I'm just, you know, I deserve the same thing you do. And you know what? I can run the same job that you run. And I get the same amount of money that you get and blah, blah. If you want to be equal across the board, then you're sending a message to men. Okay, she's making the same amount of money I'm making. So therefore, you know, I shouldn't be paying for everything. She should be putting in the same number that I'm putting in. That's where I think that the whole part of a relationship between a man and a woman becomes diluted today in this whole of our kids having relationships and what have you. I just don't believe at 52 years old that the woman should pay for dinner. I don't believe.
Oh, good.
You know that.
That is so true. And that's so honorable of you.
I just don't think that I don't believe that a woman should have to pay for the vacation. I don't believe that the woman should have to pay for the house. I believe that if you are man enough to take somebody's daughter on as your lifetime partner, then you need to give that woman the same damn security her daddy gave her.
That's right.
If you old enough to screw this woman, then you old enough to put a, you ought to be man enough to put a bed under her. And that bed ought to be in a house that she's part owners of. And if you can't do that, then honey.
Yeah, we got it.
I'm going to say to all Kid you rocks. Women out there that's listening. If a man cannot feed you, if a man cannot befriend you, if a man cannot put a roof over your head and shoes on your feet and keep you safe, that ain't the man for you, sister. Because there is a man out here that's not stupid. There is a man out here that will look at you and see your worth and say, I'm going to invest everything I have in this woman because she's going to make me a better person just by being able to wake up and look at her makes me a better man. So, you know, I hope that that helps you, hon. So with that being said, we're out of time. I want to again thank each and every one of you that has stayed here with us for 100 episodes. I want to thank you, Julie, as my co-host.
You as well.
And, you know, I'll be your co-host.
Yeah. To 100 more.
To 100 more and to 100. Well, I don't want us to be married 100 more years because then we're not going to look good.
No.
So, you know, until whatever days God gives us, I want to spend them with you. So, folks, until next week, good luck. God bless. Tune in to Chrissy Knows Best on USA Network Thursday night.
The finale.
And so you guys do not want to miss this finale. So thank you so, so, so very much for everything. Good luck and God bless.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.